In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, we see that God has spoken to man. The verses tell us that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to be heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So we see here that God has revealed himself and his will for mankind through his word, that is the Bible. So it's important for us then, as mankind, that we understand that the Bible is our source of authority. And we need to build on that, because we need to understand why divine authority is needed in our lives. So we ask the question, first of all, what is authority? The Greek word says it denotes freedom of action and the power that approves that action. In Matthew 21 and verse 23, when Jesus came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching, and they asked him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" In Acts 1 and verse 7, he told those apostles, those disciples there, that it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In John 1 and verse 12, he talks about permission and the power to give that permission. He says there, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." The common usage here is the power or right to give commands. That's the definition of authority. To enforce obedience, to take action, or to make final decisions, jurisdiction. That comes from Webster's New World Dictionary. So we understand what authority is. We need to understand the presence of authority as being universal. It is exercised and submitted to on a daily basis. For example, in the home, we understand authority is exercised and submitted there. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24, that wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And he also wrote in Ephesians 6 and verse 1 that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. A second place that we see the presence of authority as being universal is in the government, whether it be federal, state, county, or city. Paul would again write in Romans chapter 13, the first three verses, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same." Now, this is in regard to laws and regulations, the enforcement agencies, and so on. And a third place that the presence of authority is seen as universal is in business and in schools. We see that this authority must exist and must be submitted to in the most important area of life, though. And that's where it comes into play, our salvation and our soul. Jesus, in Matthew's account of the Great Commission, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Paul again would write in Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet," that is Jesus's, "and gave him," that is Christ, "to be head over all things to the church, which is his body," that is Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And again in Ephesians 5, in verse 24, Paul says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The local church, Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And he goes on in verse 17 of that chapter, and it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And the third point here is, I want us to understand that we need divine authority. We need God's authority. Back in the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, God tells us that in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The first of all, I want us to understand in our need for divine authority is that authority in life is necessary due to the very nature of God. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, we see that God is sovereign by right of creation. His presence, his eternal presence. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 24, he writes, can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Psalm 90 and verse 2, the psalmist writes, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Not only in God's presence, but in his power, we see that he is almighty. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. And Paul, we have recorded his sermon or his statements there in Acts 17, where he spoke at Mars Hill there. And beginning in verse 24, he says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For if we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And again, throughout the Psalms, we see that God is in heaven, but he does whatever he pleases. A second point here is that we have authority in life that's necessary due to the nature and needs of mankind. In other words, we need divine help. We need God's help because we cannot correctly guide ourselves through life, and we cannot correctly guide ourselves into heaven. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jeremiah 10 and 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. You see, we have limited knowledge and ability. Man is the creature and the subject of the will of his creator, God. And Paul speaks to this in Romans 9, verses 20 and 21. And you see, it's foolish and futile for us to reply and rebel against God. A second reason is that man is a sinful creature, and we have the habit of sinning. Paul, in writing the Roman letter in chapter 3 and verse 23, says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Ephesians 2, he writes, beginning in verse 1, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." A third thing here is that we need authority in life. It is necessary because reconciliation with God is impossible without that authority. And God provides that authority. He provides for man's redemption. We can't do that on our own. And He has done that through Christ, His Son. We see from Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 11, that it's according to His good pleasure of His will. His will. His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. The knowledge of God's provisions and His terms. In other words, there are conditions of redemption which He purposed in Himself. There are conditions for our redemption that are essential for our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. You see, Matthew 7, Jesus said at the Sermon on the Mount there in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And there is a standard of right and wrong that is essential. We see there in Joshua 1 and verse 7, he was told to only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. And we need an objective standard of authority, a revealed message from God, not some message that man has devised. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, we've already noticed. Matthew 15, verses 6 through 9, talks about in verse 9, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." We need a standard of authority that is going to grant us fellowship with God. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. We need an authority that's going to establish and maintain unity among believers. Jesus prayed for that unity in John 17, verses 20 and 21. And we need authority that leads us to heaven. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 talks about the two different gates. He tells us to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And notice he says there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's interesting that the majority of denominations in the world look to their own wisdom and knowledge to find their way to heaven. They're following the broad gate. They're following the broad way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We need authority to live on earth. We need authority to live eternally. And we must live under God's authority to have His approval and redemption in Christ. Again, Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Excuse me. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, Paul writes, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know, we just finished a series on baptism and understanding the authority that's involved in it. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look and notice that God has provided the authority we need in a way that we can live under it and be blessed. I want to thank you for being with me today, and I look forward to being with you next Sunday.